Okay. Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how much are you or how little are you? Can you get down to nothing? Do we want to be nothing or do we want to be everything or somewhere in between? And we're going to find out a lot about what that all means by talking to the author of a book called Into the Nothing, a spiritual autobiography. And this man has been on the show before. He's a physician of the soul. He's a medical doctor and has many other incredible credentials that are amazing through many, many different populations in India and North America and all over the place. He's been around the universe a few times. So I want to introduce Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Welcome so much to Energy Stew.
Well, Peter, I'm very happy to be on your program. You're fun to play with. Good energy. It's good.
Yeah. Well, I so enjoy talking with you and your journey in life is amazing. And you have this book. It's an autobiography, and you really talk about so many of the trials you've been through in life and where it's brought you to, and both physically and spiritually. You've had many tragedies and physical horrible circumstances.
Yeah.
That needed one operation that was quite amazing, actually. Luckily you found an incredible doctor for. And so it goes on and on, how you have rode through life, stroke through life to find peace. And it's hard to say, well, can we really find peace? Well, maybe we can't find peace unless we do some of the things that you are doing to create it. So I know you want to start off with a prayer, so please do so.
So the prayer is about merging the heart and the mind, because that's part of the problem of not finding peace. So you're not integrated in heart and mind. We call it wisdom of the heart, but also the heavens and the earth, but the heavens are beyond the physical heavens, because that's still the physical plane. It's merging all the planes of existence with our physical 3D plane, time, space, and energy. So it's that and feeling oneness with God. It's all of those. That's what the prayer is about. L'shimiku k'rishabrihu u'shinute bi'ila er'im l'ayach v'yukim v'vavkim bi'yadah shalom b'shem k'zriyam kolam amin. Now just feel that unity within yourself.
I felt something going through my heart chakra.
Yeah.
So, and that's a great place for unity.
Yes. Very good.
That's beautiful. And that was in Hebrew, and you are a rabbi.
Right.
And so all these other things you are as well. I mean, it's wonderful. And you and I talked earlier about physical stuff and the fact that you're a medical doctor and you understand science so well. And this isn't going to be a show about your bringing your medical background into it. We want to really bring your spiritual background into this. And then, because I want to understand more, I want you to explain more about the title of your book is Into the Nothing. And a lot of people have no idea what that means. You know, into the nothing means nowhere to go. So if you have nowhere to go, where do you go?
There's no place to stand.
Right.
And so the meaning of that is not something philosophical. It's something I directly experienced. So when I lived in India for 7 years and traveled with Swami Muktananda, I meditated 6 hours a day, chanted the name for 4.5 hours, took care of my 5-year-old and 8-year-old and my wife, and did all these things. Didn't get a lot of sleep, but did all these things. When you're meditating a lot, you don't have to sleep a lot. But the point I'm making is, in that process, it just began to happen. So there is the I, we're born into I am this. I am this, I am that, and then we talk about the I am. But what happens here is when you go deep enough, the I am disappears. And there is literally nothing, because there's no boundary called you.
That so ain't, are, you not no even longer, are you no longer a witness?
That's what I'm saying. You are no longer a witness. See, in the I-ness or I am, you're witnessing going into the void.
Right.
You're witnessing going into, you know, the different levels of samadhi, Nirvikalpa and Sankalpa samadhi. Here, no.
Right, but that's that's going into samadhi, not being in samadhi. Is that what you mean?
Well, but samadhi, there's still a you observing samadhi.
So when you're fully in samadhi, you're still a witness. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you see the dark void.
So as long as you can see the dark void, you're in duality. Yeah.
There's consciousness there that is you. Into the nothing, there's no identification with you. There's just prior to existence. There's no time, space, or even energy. And that it's, you know, a limit to how much you can explain, but you disappear. There's an ancient Torah teaching that says you can't know God and live. And I think that's what they were talking about. You disappear. Your I-ness disappears. The witness disappears. And there just is.
But you're not observing what is?
You don't exist.
So then if you've disappeared, what does the experience bring you?
When you come out, you reflect on it, but I call it divine behavior modification. Now, I'm kind of joking, but if you know that there is no you, there's only that, and the traditional Vedanta, we say, I am that. That's a teaching. There's an I that you're identified with that. But in this case, there's only that. There's no you left. So what you learn is that there is no individual you.
But it feels to me like this ultimate nothing would be, you would be unconscious.
You kind of are, but there's some non-witness awareness there. It's kind of, we're talking in a zone, it's hard to explain, but the all you can tell, all I can tell when I talk about it is that I am that, there's an I identified with everything that.
So there still is.
An I. And now there's the next step is there's no I.
That's what's hard to appreciate, because then you're, what are you gaining from the experience of non-existence?
You're no longer in the illusion that there's a separate self.
Okay, so it's the illusion that disappears. Because I remember an experience I had of being in total oneness. And it was just emerge, and you couldn't separate. It was everything, but it was everything. Not only nothing, but it was everything. It all became light, and you knew it embodied everything.
And you were observing it.
I was aware of being part of this light.
Right.
And I, you know, because I was observing it, I was like, but it was so expanding and
right
and
right.
beautiful to experience this.
That's the state that's happening, you know, hours of meditation, hours of chanting, that kind of comes before this.
That's what I'm trying to understand is how do you get to that next stage? Or not how, but what is that next stage?
It just happens. I mean, I had no attention. I just was, you know, coming out of it, I go, what's going on? You know, so
right, but it's you experiencing what's going on. And when you said that when it's over, then you can reflect on it. How do you know there's anything to reflect on if there was nothing?
there is not an identification. So I go backwards in the discussion. So nirvikalpa samadhi, there's an I in the void, but you're experiencing the void. There's a you experiencing the void. There's an identification of I-ness with the void. And Sankalpa Samadhi is identification of I-ness. Okay?
Right.
Here, there's no identification of I-ness. There just is kind of existence.
But it's you experiencing existence, a pure existence. So in other words, the experience of pure existence is maybe non-identifiable from your point of view, but it's still in the experience of existence.
There isn't a you experiencing it, it just is the existence.
Right.
And it's very profound because that's the truth, actually.
Right. I guess what it reminds me of years ago when I was doing LSD, I was writing postcards to myself saying, you know, I'm in a place, I'm traveling, and, you know, I'm sending you a postcard from this other reality. Right. And I am, because you can't know it unless you're in it.
Right. And that's it. But there's a place, you know, if you see the progression where the I-ness disappears, and that's what I describe in my book. You have I am-ness, we're born into I am-ness. And then as we get more aware in a certain way, you know, I am this, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I am, you know, whatever you are. You know, later I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever. So that is a further and further identification. But in this case, we go from the I am-ness to I-ness, subtle existence, and then even that disappears. It's hard to describe, because there's a lot
That's what I'm saying. It's you're trying to explain something that's unexplainable.
Right. Except backwards. I can say, the I-ness, I am that, is what is often talked about.
Right.
Right. And then there's only that. So there's thatness, so to speak.
You're right, I get it, yeah. You can remove the I am.
And then again, the teaching is you can't live and know God. So at some point, you have to disappear totally. And that's
God what disappears totally. Even God.
Everything.
Yes. Yeah. Or on the identification of God.
Yeah. There's a primal chaos that they describe in the book of Genesis, a primal chaos before time, space, and energy emerges.
Right.
My theory is that the primal chaos, you don't have electrons. You don't have neutrons and protons. You know, it's at that level of the primal chaos that we're talking about. Which is, right. In a sense, the nothing in terms of the creation of the universe, but it's the same principle.
But I don't know if the this primal state ever truly existed to create something out of nothing.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it could have existed. Let's just put it down.
The classic teaching is yes, something from nothing. Yes, and I am. So people describe it. And the mystics of the 16th century in Sfat actually did talk about it. As I searched, whatever, who else is talking about this? And so it's yesh and ayin, something from nothing. So that's a deep, that's an actual teaching. I mean, I did all this research afterwards, like, who's talking about this?
Yeah, really.
So, because whenever you something happens, you need, there had to be other people to talk about it. And so I found that kind of discussion. So yesh and ayin means something from nothing.
Right. And for me, that actually takes me back into timelessness. And because I believe that the universe is timeless. And that means infinity, because infinity never ends.
Well, even prior to infinity, it's hard to think of those.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're... This is
But I'm serious when I say that infinity is still a term. This is even prior to infinity. Time, space, energy, we move into infinity, which is timeless.
Right, but infinity is a term that our minds can't comprehend.
Right, but well, in a way we can't.
We try.
Because it's endless.
Yeah, exactly. But we it's hard to understand what endless means.
Right, but going prior to endless, different story. That's way beyond the discussion.
Okay, good.
That's what I'm going to say. But that's how they taught something from nothing.
Yeah, all right. But the idea is that
Genesis, it says something came out of the nothing.
But your ability to experience this is what is, to me, the most profound aspect. And then, okay, so let's talk about...
And again, it's not my ability. It just happened. But the
I'm not saying you were... I'm not saying there was a skill involved.
I can't take credit for it, okay? It happens every day. It happens.
So... But where do these experiences lead us? What is the journey to them that we should aspire to?
Well, the big danger is aspiring to anything. And I mean that very seriously, because the minute we have an idea, then we have ego in the way and we have a goal. So what I try to teach people is the idea of intent. Intend to let go into the nothing.
Right.
And if that's grace, good. Two wings of the bird. You have to have the grace part. And that's what takes you into the nothing.
I love that word. Right.
Yeah.
There's such beauty to it.
Yeah. And we have to show up. It didn't happen by accident. That intent, and not that I had that as a goal, but I was driven to meditate 6 hours a day. I was driven to chant, another 4.5 hours. I was driven. But don't ask me why I was driven. I was driven.
But and I surrendered to it. I think there's a purpose. And I think the expansion of you helps the expansion of all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for a Western doctor to be talking about this. I published papers in biochemistry and biophysics as well, okay?
Right.
Now I'm talking totally a different world, but I come back and I think like a scientist with it. You know, it's right. Not like just an old mystical understanding. No, it's a way bigger picture.
Well, it's kind of like a people, I'm thinking of a friend who was a doctor. He was a podiatrist, and he was your everyday podiatrist. And he got on a massage table, and somehow during the massage, he had a very powerful Kundalini experience. And he got off the table, and all of a sudden, he was a visionary. and he was knowing things about the body and the feet that no other podiatrist knew. And he ended up lecturing all around the world and inventing things. And it was amazing what that Kundalini experience created.
Right. And so, I mean, obviously I discussed in my book about the awakening of the Kundalini, you know, going through all the chakras, seeing all the petals, going into nothing, coming back down. I believe I was given that because the science part of me could then share it.
And of course, right, that's great. Yeah, I love that. That you know how to make use of it.
how to help people.
Right, understand. Just like that podiatrist, you know, he was driven then to share his vision.
Right, and then it also taught me how to work with another part of the work is Kundalini psychosis and transcendence. As a psychiatrist, I also got put in the position of working with people as my psychotic or is this Kundalini awakening? Not always so easy to tell. You know? So people would come and, you know, and have to balance the energies for them. So that's another aspect of it.
Sure.
But it was based on directly knowing the Kundalini and going beyond that. Because Kundalini is only one level of the awakening. It's really more the astral plane, subtle body level in between those two. It's
more the door opening.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then I call it the hand of God. It takes to the heart of God.
Exactly. Right. I love that. Yeah. So then it's about taking it to these next levels that your journey has brought you to. Because you've been so dedicated to learn more and to, yeah, you know, to explore more. And then you're so willing to share it with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. That's an assignment. I got that was part of my assignment.
Right. In life. Yeah. No, I love the fact that you have had a life that to me is just, you know, amazing. To read about in your book Into the Nothing, and everybody should read it because it really helps on so many levels to understand what our lives can do for us.
Yeah, and part of the teaching is all life is a spiritual teaching.
Right, everybody, everything that
football or meditating or sacred relations, doesn't matter. All life is a spiritual teaching.
Including our suffering.
Yeah.
Or maybe especially our suffering.
Yeah, I don't go out of my way to create that, but yeah, it's part of it. Everything is.
Right.
But
maybe that it's more intense, that suffering forces you to seek more light.
Yeah, and for me, I can't say there was much suffering once I woke up, because what are you suffering about? There's no you to be suffering.
I love that. It just is.
Yeah.
It just is. I know. I have.
You're not going anywhere, so you're not losing anything. And you're one with everything.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Because you and I are at an age where, you know, our body creaks more. Yeah. Even though I know that you know, you do a zillion push-ups every day or whatever.
I had 1,600 push-ups the other day.
Yeah. So I'm not as capable anymore, but I'm not worried about it because I love just the experience of being.
Yeah. The biggest thing with chronological age is this is an incredible opportunity to wake up because you have an overview as well.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're sharing here. So this one here is 78 chronological years. It's like you've been through a little bit.
Yeah, you and I are the same age.
Yeah, very good. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and so I always say I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, and the beauty is that you have a much broader perspective.
Yes.
What's going on.
I love that.
And it's a prime time to keep expanding.
I'm proud of that. And that's why we're talking, is because we both want to expand as much as possible.
Yeah. And it's constant, but you know, the key is not a goal, but an intent. So your goal limits you, as I explained, but the intent.
Sure. So if you have a goal, it limits everything else that's not the goal.
And exactly. Exactly. And it gets in your way.
Right.
So we jump into the unknown, and I call it the desire and resist. I have a course called Zero Point, where, and hey, want to go into the unknown, fine, but you have a desire to do that, but there's a resistance too, because people get scared.
Right.
You have to face that. That's just part of the process.
Right.
So we're always playing that in our life.
So we're really getting to the end of the show, and I want you, you have so much to offer people, teachings and workshops, etc. So where can people find you? And
wait, the easy way is drcousens.com.
Okay, that's COUSENS.
It is, yeah. And or treeoflife.mn, mightynetworks.co. And I'm doing a regular Thursday, Israel time, let's see, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Israel time, depending on where people are in the world, where we start with the Shaktipat meditation, you know, the awaken the Kundalini, which you can do over Zoom, which is really, really good. And then I'm teaching a lot. I also teach about the Parshas, and I also kind of course, all these interviews, but all my programs, I have over 350 videos things. On my, you know, treeoflife.mn.co. So there's a lot of teachings out there, but the weekly show, the weekly sharing is at treeoflife.mn.co, and they can tune in whatever time zone they are. I also have 13 books I've written.
Right, so they should get to your website and find out more about you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I love talking with you. This is so great.
It's fun to play.
I know. I've enjoyed playing with you. Thanks.
Blessings to you, Peter, and to all the listeners, that they get inspired to be opening up to the mystery.
Yes. Let's pray for that for everybody. And so thank you so much for being on Energy Stew.
Great. Thanks.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.